I remember when Jean and I got married. She had been 17 for 10 whole days. And I was a man in uniform. And I had to crawl, not literally. Mommy, would you sign for me so I can get married? And she was 17, and she signed for herself. Boy, you talk about a guy's manhood going out the window. And here I was, a man in uniform in the U.S. Navy. But that's how the ball bounces. All tonight. Tonight, we're going to begin a study in the book of Jude. I am convinced that we live in a most unique time in history. And though the book of Jude has only one chapter, 25 verses to be exact, the book of Jude can equip us as believers for the challenges that face us in these times. And folks, whether we realize it or not, we as believers are faced with challenges. We must ever be on guard. I didn't say never, I said ever. We must always be on guard against false doctrines. There's a lot of false doctrine out there. And unless we know what the Word of God says, you and I will be deceived. We need to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am persuaded, if I can use that word, I believe that we must defend the gospel. The gospel is good news to those that are perishing. And I trust you understand what I mean when I use the word perishing. Who wrote the book of Jude? Was it Judas the apostle, or was it Judas the brother of James, who was the half-brother according to the flesh of our Lord? Well, what does the Greek say? Well, the Greek doesn't really help us. The Greek merely tells us Judas of James. Thus, was it Judas, the brother of James, or was it Judas, the son of James? I know the King James Version, and that's all that we ever use. That's all that I ever use. I love the King James Version. I am convinced that it has a wonderful track record. I am. But modern versions of the Bible, they lean toward the Apostle Judas or the Apostle Jude. Most scholars, and as I've already alluded to, or I've already said, the King James Version, but most scholars lean toward Judas as being the half-brother of our Lord. Personally, I lean toward Judas or Jude, the half-brother, according to the flesh of Jesus. That's where I stand personally. Listen to Matthew and chapter 13 and verse 55. Matthew 13, 55. Here's a question. Is not this the carpenter's son? And I view fingers pointing at Jesus. Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren or brothers, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? I have always been taught that Judas and James believed in Jesus Christ only after Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. I mean, it was obvious he had died, but on the third day, according to Scripture, he rose from the grave. The grave couldn't contain God. Aren't you glad that our Savior is alive? He's well. He sits at the right hand of the power on high. Aren't you glad that He is our great and our mighty High Priest? Aren't you glad that He is coming again for us? I mean, if He wasn't, He would have told us so. But He hasn't told me so. No. And I don't think He's told you so either. He's coming. He sure is. And I am convinced that He's coming for me. For everyone that believes. And we know that before the death and the burial and the resurrection, we know that none of His brethren believed on Him. Listen to John's gospel account. I'm in John chapter 7 and verse 5. For neither did His brethren believe in Him. And rather than call attention to himself, Jude referred to himself as the servant of Jesus Christ. And the word servant is an interesting word. I mean, Jude considered himself to be a slave of Jesus Christ. Oh, it's quite different than how he saw himself before. He was nothing more than a lowly bondservant. He was one that gives himself up to another's will. Jude gave himself up to the will of Almighty God. Oh, listen. And Jude, he writes to folk like you and like me. And he gives us, as it were, a warning. Well, he's writing to those who have been sanctified. Listen to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed. Aren't you glad you have been washed? Not by soap and water, but you have been washed by blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, a lamb as if he had been slain. And oh, he was slain for the likes of us. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified or set apart. but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Listen to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10. By the which will we, and of course, the writer of Hebrews, and I'm convinced that it's Paul the Apostle, but that's beside the point. The writer of Hebrews has in mind all of us that have been born again, all of us that have been set apart, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Oh, the word sanctified, it means to separate for God's use. Aren't you glad that of all the people in the entire world, God has separated you for His use? That's who Jude is writing to. Listen, Jude chapter 1. Well, there's only one chapter, but listen to verse 1. Jude, the servant, and we've talked about that already. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that you have been preserved? And as I have said before, you are never saved any more than what you're saved right now. Now, the body hasn't been saved, but you've been saved. Oh, you have been. You have been preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Aren't you glad that you are the called according to His purpose? I'm glad. Mm-hmm. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Jude wants God's mercy to remain upon you. Listen to David, the psalmist, and as you know, I want to see the Lord. I really do. I want to hug Him. I'm a huggy kind of person. I like to hug. I want to see Gene. I mean, there's a lot of folk I want to see. But I want to see old David. I really do. Because David has brought me a whole lot of comfort in these days. Psalm 21 and verse 7. For the king trusteth in the Lord. Oh, I'm so glad that I trust in the Lord. And I understand that my prayer has been, Lord, I trust You. And I really do. But Lord, help me in my unbelief. I think we're all that way. For the king, and remember, David is writing, for the king trusteth in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. Isn't this true with you? I would say so. You have trusted in the Lord. You, through His mercy, have been saved. You will not be moved. No way, Jose. I'm a poet and didn't know it. I tell you what, I'm convinced that this is true of those that Jude was writing. This is true of you. It's true of me. We shall not be moved. Nary an inch. mercy unto you. In other words, he's saying, may it never depart from you. And peace! Aren't you glad that you have been made to be at peace with God? Before we were at enmity, before there is no way we could have been saved. With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. You and I had no earthly way of being saved. But God always knows what He's going to do. Always. That's what John's gospel account says. And you and I, because God has done a work in your life and in my life, we have been saved to the uttermost. The word multiplied are the 12 times that word is found in the New Testament. It's translated abound one time. May these things abound in you. Mercy and peace. May these things abound in you. May they be increased in our lives. And then we see the words common salvation. Listen to Jude chapter 1. And again, just one chapter. But look at verse 3. Beloved. And we know who he's talking to, right? When I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. Let's stop there for a moment. All of us were saved the same way. All of us were made out of the same stuff. We were all sinful. We were all condemned to hell. None of us had anything to offer God. God, if you save me, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll give you this. We had nothing. We were spiritually bankrupt. But God did a work. All of us have a common salvation. Based not upon my performance, not upon your performance. My performance is pitiful. Your performance, not any better. But we are saved not on our performance, but on the performance of Jesus Christ. Father, I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. All he did at Calvary. In Psalm chapter 2, verse 6. I have sent, and the Father is speaking, and he's talking about Jesus Christ. I have sent you. Well, in 2004, I began to set the forms for the foundation. I never saw anything so heavy. I never carried anything so heavy until I picked up a 2x12, 25 foot long. That bugger was heavy. That's a lot of wood. And I built up that form, and the concrete was poured. And then I took the form down, And would you believe, that concrete looked just like it did before the form was taken down? I have said, the Father knew that His will would be completed to the T in the person and the finished work of Jesus the Christ. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm so glad that we are saved by His performance. When He died, He said, "Te telestai, it is finished." I'm so glad that it is finished. And I don't fully understand all that those words mean. But I do know that nothing can be added to, nor can anything be taken away from what Jesus Christ has done for us. Common salvation. We're all saved the same. And then Jude says in the third verse, "It was needful for me to write you." It was needful for me to write you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Common. Well, we've already talked about that. But it means that which is ordinary. It means that which has no rank or no superiority. All of us were saved the very same way. There wasn't a one of us any better than the other. You were no better, no different from me. I was no better, no different from you. All of us were sinners by nature. Mm-hmm. All of us were condemned. None of us had anything to offer God. But God had mercy on us. It was needful that I write to you. And that word is translated necessary 7 times. It is translated must needs 3 times. In fact, did not Jesus tell His disciples in John's Gospel, "I must needs go through Samaria"? We're going to Galilee. You bet your boots we are. We're not going to go around like all good Jews would do. The Scripture said He must needs go through Samaria. He had to. Why? Because He had a divine appointment there. Oh, that day when He saved me, that day when He saved you, He had a divine appointment. God the Father appointed the time that you and I would be saved. He appointed. He called. He did a work. Listen to John chapter 4, verse 4. "And He must needs go through Samaria." That same word. It was necessary. He had to go through Samaria. Mm-hmm. In that same sense, it was needful. It was necessary. He must needs to write you and I. He had to. Why? Because God put it on His heart. Folks, You haven't wasted any time in getting this church building repaired. Oh, I know it's not quite completed, but it's a long way down the road. We cannot waste time getting the fellowship hall repaired. We as believers must not waste time in serving our God. We must not waste time in being obedient to what the Scripture says. And to underscore this, I call upon Joseph, the son of Jacob, my youngest son. This past week just turned 44. He really did. And I'm just 24. I don't understand that. I really don't. But anyway, Joseph, the son of Jacob, he was confronted by Mrs. Potiphar. And you know the rest of the story. He didn't have to make up his mind, should I or shouldn't I? What was his first thoughts? How can I do this evil in front of God? I mean, his mind was already made up. Our mind must already be made up. Father, I'm going to serve you. Lord, I'm going to be obedient to your word. And listen to Matthew 22 and verse 37. Jesus said unto him, is it not going to be exciting when we hear the words of our Lord speak? I mean audibly speak to us personally. Well, we have His Word. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Jude, I'm convinced, did this. And thus he wrote this letter, and he did so with all diligence. And now he wants to exhort us. A word that means to call to one side. A word that means, as it were, a summons. Jude has, as it were, given you and me a summons. I remember. Oh, do I? It's vivid in my mind. Just a little while after Dorothy had passed away, one morning, about 7 o'clock, I heard the doorbell ring. And I thought, who in the world could that be at this time of morning? And I went to the door, and in my amazement, I saw a deputy sheriff. I thought, what in the world does that old bugger want with me? Well, I was curious, so I opened the door. And I opened the door, and I opened the screen, and I walked out on the porch, and the deputy sheriff gave me a summons. I said, now, wait a minute. I remember before getting these things in the mail, but now you're giving me one in person? I don't understand. He said, well, before, he said, there were so many that didn't show up for jury duty. And they claimed, well, I never got the summons in the mail. So as a result, I'm giving it to you in person. Here is your summons for jury duty. Well, I called at the specified time, and that trial had been settled out of court, which means I didn't have to go to jury duty. But that is what the word exhort suggests. Something has happened, and you need to know about it. In fact, you need to do something about it. I'm giving you a summons. And then we see the word earnestly contend. One word in the Greek, and it's used only this one time in the New Testament. Contend means to strive. But the Scripture used the word earnestly. Earnestly contend. Earnestly strive. Listen to Luke's gospel account in Luke 22, verse 44. And it's talking about our Lord. And our Lord is in agony. Oh, I don't know how much He suffered for me. I don't know. But all He suffered. And the Scripture says, and being in agony, He prayed more earnestly. And His sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Here, earnestly suggests intently. Webster defined the word with great desire. Jesus Christ had great desire to go to Calvary. He really did. The Bible says that He went to Jerusalem and He went like a flint. He didn't look to the left nor the right. He went to Calvary. Nothing could sway Him from doing what the Father had sent Him to do. He went intently. He went with great desire. Jude is reminding those that he's writing to, oh, we need to strive, and we need to do it with earnest. We need to do it with great desire. We are to earnestly contend for the faith. In other words, we are to earnestly contend for what Scripture declares. For the faith that was once delivered to the saints. To the faith, to those teachings that the Lord passed to His disciples, and His disciples passed on to us. Why? Because we must be on guard against false doctrines, against false teachings. And none of us have to be told, boy, the world is full of false doctrine and false teachings. I know folk, and you do too, that have taken all of the, can I use the word, religions? And they've taken a little bit from this one, and a little bit from that one, and a little bit from this other one, and that's what they believe. I've heard it said, oh, King James! Ha ha! That was written by a man. Just a man. And I've heard that same person say, oh, we can't do that. Why? because the Bible says you can't do it. I don't know what that person meant. And we, as children of God, oh, we can be so easily deceived unless we are grounded, and I mean grounded, in what the Word of God says. You and I are accountable. We are responsible. You know what that word means? Folks, listen to Jude verse 4. For there are certain men. And that word, certain humans, it can refer to women, it can refer to men. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. We live in a day, and I hear this a lot, particularly from athletes. Oh, I believe in God. You know what comes to my mind? Yeah, you do. But what God do you believe in? I mean, I automatically think that. What God do you believe in? Jesus Christ is never, ever mentioned, but they believe in God. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jude goes on to say, certain men, anthropos, humans, men and women, have crept into the church unawares. Not necessarily this church, but the church. Mm-hmm. They became religious teachers. And ever so slowly, they began to sow their bad seed. The Bible says, Jude says, they came in unawares, being tare among the wheat. Peter speaks of this in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. When Israel was delivered from Egypt, there was false prophets among them. And just like that, there's going to be false teachers among you. And all they're going to bring you, they're going to teach you what he called damnable heresies. The kind of teachings that bring damnation. The kind of teachings that bring nothing but divine judgment. I don't pretend to understand all that Peter had in view, but I do know that he's talking about false teachers. I do know that he's talking about bad doctrine. I do know that he's talking about folks that deny the gospel. I'm glad that we have been begotten by the gospel. This is why we must earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Folks, we just have to. False teachers, they were ungodly. They were turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Not saving grace. Because saving grace can never be turned into such a thing. But the grace that was lived out daily. Oh, they turned into unbridled lust. Shamelessness. Nothing more than animalistic desires. And then the word denying. Literally, to prove to himself that Christ is not who he said he is. Folks, Jesus Christ is exactly who he said he is. He is the Son of God. He did not become the Son of God. He is the eternal Son of God. Oh, as I read an article in 1985 in the Atlantic Monthly. And that article, that magazine, was destroyed in the flood. I can't pull it out anymore, but I've got it right here. And in Matthew 16, when Jesus Christ asked, "Who do men say that I am?" Oh, some say that. Yeah, you know the incident. Well, according to this article, Jesus Christ was searching. He didn't know who he really was. Yeah, he knew who he really was. He wasn't searching. "Whom do you say that I am?" "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Flesh and blood hath not taught you this, but my Father which is in heaven, he hath said this." Folks, listen to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4. "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth." And there are folks who will not believe the truth. They will step over truth to believe a lie. They embrace a lie. "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables, to that which is not true. And I fear that there are a lot of teachings going on out there today that are not true. We must earnestly contend. This is imperative that we do so. We need to know what the Bible says. We ought to earnestly, with great desire, strive. We ought to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints." Let's pray. Would you bow your heads? Oh, Father. Father, I agree that there is a lot of untruth going on out there. Father, I understand that there are many people who want their ears tickled. They really do. But Father, I am convinced that if a believer ever eats steak, that believer will never want bologna again. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you are truth, that your word is truth. Thank you that Jesus Christ is truth. Father, that we might be well grounded, that which we receive would be only what the Scripture teaches. Nothing else really matters. Oh, Father, that we might have great desire, that we might earnestly contend for the faith that was once. Father, once is all it takes. That was once delivered unto the saints. Father, thank you. Oh, Father, guide this people. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. And you are dismissed.